It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Live it off the wall. Where you give the best sports talk and info in New York.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. Chris Shan.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Shan.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I am your excellent host, Wayne Campbell. Chris Shearn. We'll be joined by Garth Algar, a.k.a. Joe Auriemma, in our next segment. But first and foremost, before we get to Joey, before we get to anything else in the world of sports, we don't talk about your first place Yankees. That's the past. We talk about your American League East Division champion Yankees and ALDS one-game lead so far Yankees as they start to steamroll their way through the playoffs, the postseason here in the year 2009. A couple of things to talk about in Game 1. I know you might be listening to this and Game 2 might have been played, but hey, that's the life of a podcast. You know, we have to tape, and we're taping it on Thursday, the day after Game 1, and we're going to talk about Game 1. So here we go. CC Sabathia, not his best performance, not a tremendous outing, but an outing where he didn't walk a batter, an outing where he had a career playoff high 8 strikeouts, an outing where he threw 113 pitches, got down 2-0 in the third inning when everybody on Twitter decided to, you know, have their heart attack. Oh my goodness, the Yankees with their potent lineup and that joke of a Minnesota bullpen. The only reason why I say it's a joke is because 8 of them were used the previous day at Detroit, and they're trying to pitch their way through the Yankees the next day. Conventional wisdom and, you know, being logical like Dr. Spock would tell you that the Yankees were going to steamroll the Twins last night, and they did. Okay? So CC Sabathia didn't have his best stuff, but his mediocre stuff was still good enough to beat the Twins. That should tell you something right there. That should tell you this. That if A.J. Burnett or Andy Pettit get the Yankees one more win, if CC Sabathia comes back and pitches Game 4, if there is a Game 4 in Minnesota in a temperature-controlled environment where it's maybe not as chilly, it'll be 70 degrees, you know what? The Yankees are in good shape. And you're not really rolling the dice here with AJ or Andy. They've pitched well. AJ's been up and down, but lately he's pitched well. Andy has been a godsend for this team this year. Thank goodness he came back. With Chenming Wong going down, Andy Pettit is one of the main reasons why the Yankees are where they are right now. So the pitching was first. CC answered the question right off the bat. This is why the Yankees signed him. They signed him to win in October. CC Sabathia, 1-0 in October. Next item of business, Derek Jeter. Captain Clutch. He gets a gold star next to his name, next to the blackboard. Just like you were in kindergarten. Bingo, bango. Jeter gets a gold star. Down 2-0. He comes up. So much for that Jeterian swing, by the way. Pulled the ball, yoked it into left field. Ties the game at 2. Then Nick Swisher comes through with a rope down the left field line, doubles into the corner. Robinson Cano on his horse scores from first. Yankees take a 3-2 lead. Give Swisher a gold star as well. Then with the Yankees down up 3-2, runner on second, 2 out. Here comes A-Rod, 0-2, and everybody is already saying, we're going to have to go through this again with Alex Rodriguez. He makes all this money, blah, 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 blah. Look, I don't know how many times I've said it in the past week to Joe Auriemma. Take the paper, crumble it up, and throw it away. This is the present. It's not the past. Okay? Have a little patience. And I'm going to let Joe talk about this too, because he had a lot of good points yesterday while we were watching the game at the stadium. So I don't want to steal all the thunder here on A-Rod. But you know what? All his detractors yesterday, and they were all over Twitter. And, you know, some of the people who were Twittering are actually in the New York media. I'm not going to mention any names because I'm not going to do that. They know who they are. They know what they said. Patience. You know, this guy's always under pressure. This guy's always taking crap from the fans. He's getting booed, this or that. Yeah, he makes a ton of money. Hey, that's what the Yankees gave him. You know, he's going to produce. And I have a big time feeling this is going to be a big postseason for Alex Rodriguez. And after the game, coming out of the locker room, Joey and I were walking by the locker room, and this is what we heard.
Yes! Yes! Oh, yeah! Can you feel that, buddy? Huh? 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 I have exorcised the demons. This house is clear.
Of course, we're kidding. But I was driving into work today, and that's the first thing that came to my mind. He has to be rolling out of bed today. And maybe he's not thinking of Ace Ventura, but I was. Like, he must be standing on his balcony, wherever the hell he lives, going, I've exorcised my October demons. 2 for 4, 2 ribbies. It's time to get off A-Rod's back. Also, Hideki Matsui. Where would the Yankees be without this guy this year? He was a huge question mark in spring training. Were his knees going to hold up? Is he going to play left field? Do we need him to play left field? Didn't need him. And he's been a DH, and he's been doing a bang-up job. And against left-handed pitching, we'll get you the numbers. But they are ridiculous. He destroys left-handers. And the last one to feel Godzilla's wrath. Godzilla didn't stomp through Tokyo. He stomped through Francisco Liriano. So the Yankees with a huge, huge monkeys off their back 7-2 victory over the Twins last night. I know it's only one game. I know it's only one game. But you know what? It's a big win. They needed to do it. As Michael Kay told me on YesNetwork.com, it was a must-win for the Yankees. They got over the hump. They won the game. They're up 1-0. Who knows by the time we do this next week if the series, well, the series will be definitely over, or it'll be at a game 5 when we tape this on next Wednesday. But it's a big win. It's a step in the right direction. And everybody that needed to produce, especially the bullpen, too, we didn't even get there. Joey and I will next when the Off the Wall podcast continues right after this.
Go to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Keeping Up with the Joneses with Kim Jones, The Pinstripe Bible with Steve Goldman, River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Joining me now is Garth Algar. Excellent.
Hi, I like to play.
Okay. All right. Anyway, that's Joe Auriemma, the godfather of YesNetwork.com.
Wait all the gabagool.
And he will join us now to talk a little
By the way, I did eat all the gabagool.
Oh, all right. I was just wondering, because that's the second time we've asked, and we didn't know who did it.
Wait all the gabagool.
But it's time to talk a little playoff Yankee baseball. And I mentioned that kind of led people
right
to believe that you had some really good thoughts on A-Rod yesterday, so I don't want to keep them waiting. So give us your breakdown of Alex Rodriguez.
My breakdown of Alex Rodriguez is this, is that he stepped up to the plate, and in previous postseasons, and I know you've seen it before, he's gone up there, and he's really gripped the bat tight. He just showed you that he was nervous. Last night, he just went up there and he was just hitting like he was normally hitting. The other thing that I liked about A-Rod, and he's been doing it all year, he hasn't been trying to crush the ball. He just kind of goes with the pitches, and because of that, I feel like he's gotten more base hits. Maybe it's because of the hip injury, but he's just kind of gone with the pitch, and he's spreading the ball out more than he ever has. And just look at his first hit last night, and he went the opposite way with it, and that's what he's been doing all season. Now, I feel like he, you know, with the whole steroids issue back in March, and then having the 28 games off to start the season because of the hip injury, I feel like he came into this season with house money. And he just kind of put it to the center of the table and said, you know what? I don't care anymore. Yeah. I've got it all out there, and I'm just going to go out and play baseball. And that's what Derek Jeter said last night. I approach a game. I don't approach it like it's a playoff game. I approach a game like it's any other game.
Well, you can't put any more undue pressure on you that everybody else is already putting on you. These guys, this is why they're called professionals. This is why they play the game. This is why they get paid all that money. This is what they do. This is their job. If you're a police officer, you do that job to the best of your ability. You don't walk into that job with any pressure more than there is the next day. You don't put any undue pressure on yourself. If you're a baseball player, you can't do that. If you do, that's when you start to not, you know, produce the way you're supposed to produce. And I just thought you made a tremendous point, because in watching his body language last night, I'm not a professional at doing that.
Right.
But you could just tell there was a difference. There was a cool, he was cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah.
Even after he was 0 for 2, he made those first two outs. It just seemed, all right, whatever, I have two more
And how many times I've been 0 for 2 this season, you know?
But, you know, people, I can't. The media drives me nuts, and I know I'm in the media.
Well, it's, you know, because the media is feeding. It's not always the media's fault, because the media is feeding the beast. And the beast is the paranoid Yankee fan base.
And if you need any proof, go on Twitter.
And start following, you know, some people that are
who
very
like
paranoid.
Yankees, because these people, and you know who you are out there, and if you're listening to the podcast,
we love you, because you know what? We follow us. And
we do love you.
Yeah, but come on.
But
CC Sabathia gives up, you know, one earned
a
run.
He gave up the leadoff double.
Oh my God!
And everybody wanted to
pull
him out of the game.
Bad start.
Bad start for CC.
Oh my God!
People, Jesus! It's a baseball game. And what happened? He got out of the inning.
Denard
Span made it to third, and he got stranded.
That's what
there.
They pay him to do. I'm just saying that these players are too talented not to eventually do something in the postseason.
Yeah.
A-Rod is too damn talented.
He is.
Not to start producing.
You know, he's going against a rookie pitcher in Dunsing. Now, Nick Blackburn, these guys are not like the be-all, end-all when it comes to major league starting
Gardenhire,
pitchers.
Gardenhire, a little shocking, not going with Baker in Game 3. I'm a little shocked at that. He's going with Carl Pavano, who got booed mercilessly.
And then
the
Gardenhire
stadium.
Hugged him, by the way, Gardenhire, when he came out.
And you know
which
what?
Which was pretty fun.
And I give Pavano credit. Did you hear what he said in the post?
I did not.
He came out and said, they asked him, you know, were you upset that they booed you? He goes, man, if I was in the crowd and I saw a guy come out that performed like I did in the 4 years that I was with the Yankees, I'd boo him too.
Well, there you go. You give Pavano a little pat on the back. Hopefully you don't hurt him.
But to me, Blackburn game two, who Blackburn's pitched well, but he's still an 11-11 pitcher and the Yankees can get to him. And then, if they're down 2-0, going back to Minnesota, your season rests on Carl Pavano versus Andy Pettitte. To me, the Yankees
Pavano
can absolutely sweep this series.
Pavano has pitched well against the Yankees, but that would be the sweetest irony of all time if they go to Minnesota and they sweep the Twins by beating Carl Pavano.
Yeah.
And that's another demon to be exercised. All right, Joe. Yankees, good start. 1-0 in the postseason so far. Now we look forward to game two and game three, as you said, AJ Burnett and Andy Pettit going in those games. And when we come back, we talk about that oblong shaped ball through the yellow H. Football! We have that Eddie Murphy quote too. Joe and I will discuss the Jets and Giants. That's next here on the Off the Wall podcast right after this.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at YesNetwork.com.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports-related for Chris at 646-487-3668. And now, back to Off the Wall.
I was wondering, did you happen to catch the professional football contest on television last night? No, I didn't.
Oh, it was most exhilarating. The Giants of New York took on the Packers of Green Bay. And in the end, the Giants triumphed by kicking an oblong ball made of pigskin through a big H. It was a most ripping victory.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I am Chris Sheeran, joined as always at the hip, as it were, with Joe Auriemma.
Hey. The Fonz.
Well, all right. Chachi and Joni are going to come along for the ride as well.
Oh, boy.
Mrs. C. Mr. C. Ralph Mouth. That was a great episode of Family Guy when he came out of the mist.
Oh,
Donnie Most. Anyway, I don't know. Seth MacFarlane, that guy with Family Guy, makes me crack up on a week-to-week basis. We're probably around the same age, and we pretty much grew up on the same things, as I do a little aside here. And the last week's episode, when he did the Super Friends intro, he had me at hello. That was probably my most favorite
Superman
show of all time.
Batman and Robin.
Was the Super Friends.
Aquaman and Meg.
It was tremendous.
If anybody didn't see it, sorry about that.
Yeah, if it's still on your DVR and it's Thursday, you have issues. Watch it.
It's a very funny show.
But anyway, it's a very funny show. And Seth, if you ever need me to do any voices on the show, I'd be more than happy to do it.
Didn't Ted Knight used to do the Super Friends open?
Yeah.
Back at the Halls of Justice.
Yes, that was Ted Knight.
Yeah.
God bless. God bless Ted Knight. How'd you like to mow my lawn? How about a fresca? Anyway, let's talk a little New York football before we keep doing movie lines until we both pass out. Our wives continue to wonder, you know, if the SATs were, you know, movie lines, if we'd be at Harvard or Yale.
Oh, boy.
But anyway, the Jets and Giants last week, the Giants continue to be undefeated. The Jets took a step back, but you know what?
They lost to a really good Saints team
in New Orleans. I thought they'd get blown off the field by the offense, and Joe, you hit the nail right on the head. I got to give you credit where credit is due. Joe said the defense would hold them in check, and that's exactly what they did. They held them to 10 points. I mean, this is up until that point, and still today, they're the most prolific offense in the NFL. They've scored the most points. And Rex
Ryan's
defense.
And this is without
defense.
Drew Brees throwing a touchdown
right.
last week.
And that's the first week he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass. So yeah. Rex Ryan could hold his head high, and that defense did a tremendous job against the Saints. Mark Sanchez had his first case of rookie-itis.
Yes.
He had the fumble. But Jet fans, we said this. I mean, it's an exciting year, and you have a good team, but you still have a neophyte back there. You have a beginner. He's not going to go out there and make big plays every week.
Mantra I've been saying all year, Chris? The mantra is, for the Giants, the future is now. For the Jets, the future is bright. I don't think the Jets are going to, you know, go to the Super Bowl this year. They have a shot at the playoffs.
But they're giving their fans something to boast about, to have pride about. Your team is back in more ways than one. And that loss to New Orleans, I haven't really heard any Jet fans upset about it. I mean, I think they're still happy with where their team's at right now.
And they still had a shot to win that game at the end of the day.
They did. In the third quarter, it was 17-10.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So I'm watching this game, I'm like, wow. I mean, the Jets impressed the hell out of me. And Jet fans, that defense should have impressed the hell out of you. To hold Drew Brees to no touchdown passes and that offense with all those weapons to 10 points? Hey, listen.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You got yourself a pretty good team.
Pretty good. In fact, I think they're so good that I think they're going to stomp down to Miami this week. I'm making my prediction right now.
Go ahead.
I think the Jets are beating the
Dolphins. Oh, I do too. We're both
Chad Henne is a young quarterback himself.
Had a great game last week.
And I just don't think they're in the league of the
not the Jets defense. No. I don't think, you know, no. Buffalo is not the Jets.
No.
Sorry. And Henny's going to have very happy feet.
Yes,
against
with
Jets defense.
Bart Scott and all those other guys coming in at him.
Moving on to the Giants now. And I take the Jets as well. So we're both taking the Jets over the Dolphins on Monday night. I think it's going to be Jets like 17-13. I don't think with these defenses, because Miami's defense isn't a slouch either.
No.
So it's going to be low scoring. I think 17-13 Jets win this game. Let's move on to the Giants now. Giants continue to I'm just going to say it, piss me off. they happen to be the only 4-0 team that, you know, that pisses me off. As I wear my New York Giants sweatshirt too. I sit there, they're playing the Kansas City Chiefs, who are another minor league football team. It's the second week in a row they're playing a minor league team. The Buccaneers were god-awful. The defense did a tremendous job, as I admitted to and alluded to last week on the podcast, holding the team to, I think it was 86 yards and 35 on the first nine possessions. It's an NFL team. That's a tremendous job by the defense. However, Kansas City and the Giants, don't get me wrong, they were in control of this game.
You know what? I'm going to have a huge argument with you.
That's
right here.
Fine. And I'm going to bring up Joe Callow, our buddy who does Football NYC, the podcast with Ross Tucker. Joe and I talked, and this is the second time we've talked this year where we're saying to ourselves, how many more times is this team with all this talent going to be involved in a game where they dominate the whole game? And then in the fourth quarter, it all comes down to an onside kick that they have to recover.
They were up 11 points at that point.
But the game wasn't over.
The game was, they were in complete domination of that game. When Eli came out of the game, they were up 27-3. I understand they gave up the 13 points, but the game was never in doubt. The Giants had that game, Chris. They dominated that game.
What was the final score, Joe?
27-16. 16. What's 16 the big points. So what does that tell you? They still had to have a touchdown with a 2-point conversion field goal.
That's right. That's absolutely right. I cannot argue with that. But let's go here. Let's go here. Once again, getting in the red zone and not scoring. That's a problem. And if you do it, my point is, I know you're saying they destroyed them. They should destroy Kansas City.
I agree.
They should destroy Tampa Bay. Are they going to do that when they play a good team? Are they going to be able to kick field goals against Green Bay or Minnesota? Are they going to be able to do that and win a game?
Of course they are. They've been doing it the last 3 years.
We'll see. That's all I'm going to say.
They did it against Dallas.
We'll see.
In their home.
Dallas stinks.
Oh, will you stop it? They were so up for that game.
Dallas stinks.
That was their first
Dallas
home
lost
game.
To Denver. And that's Dallas scored 10 points.
Denver's 4-0, Chris.
Who's Denver played?
Denver is, it doesn't matter. They're playing NFL teams. Like you said, they're playing teams on their schedule, and they're 4-0.
We're going to have
against
this,
a good Cincinnati
we're gonna
team,
have
and they
this
won.
Argument. We're going to have this argument again when the Giants play the Saints.
And they're going to kick their butts.
Okay.
The Saints haven't played a team like the Giants yet.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. I'm just a realist.
I'm a realist too. And I'm saying the reality is the Giants over the last 2 seasons have beaten good opponents. They went to the damn Super Bowl and won 11 straight games on the road. They beat Carolina without Plaxico Burress last year when they were both going for the number one seed. And this year, look, the bottom line is, Chris, they're... Chris,
what happened against Philadelphia?
Chris, they had a bad game. They had a bad game. They had a bad game. What do you want me to tell you?
Field goals. But that's my point.
It happened.
Against good teams. They're not going to beat them kicking field goals.
You're citing one example, Chris. One example. One example in the last 2 years. They beat a Patriots team.
That's all you need is precedent,
Joe.
They
beat a Patriots.
All you need is precedent.
They beat a Patriots team that was 18-0. 18-0.
We're talking about the past.
I'm not talking
about
the
now.
You're saying over the last 3 seasons they haven't. Really
I never
beat
said
anybody.
Last 3 seasons. You said that.
I'm just saying.
You said.
And
that.
I'm using this team as a precedent that they have beaten good teams. They've beaten the 4 teams on their schedule at this point, and they've beaten them convincingly. And when it comes down to it, they always play up to their competition. They always do, and they always beat their.
Except the Cleveland Browns last year. Let's bring that game up, too.
I'm actually happy that they're playing in the Superdome. Because you know what? The bottom line is they play really well on the road. They play really well on the road. That's all I'm saying.
That's our first fight.
That's all I'm saying.
It's good, though. Look, when you hang out a lot and you're almost like a married couple, you're bound to fight every once in a while. And actually, I wanted to do that because we need a little juice on the show.
I'm making my prediction right now. You know what?
Go ahead.
Rhett Bomar could play quarterback this week, and he's beating the Raiders.
Dude, you and I could be on the offensive line, and they'd beat the Raiders.
That's
as
why
long
I think,
as neither one of us, that's Howard why I Cross, told me, isn't blocking Richard Seymour.
To me?
Because he's mad.
Eli Manning, I just don't want him to get any more hurt than he
is. No, I don't think he has to play. I really don't think Eli has
David Carr should play this
week. I think David Carr should start, and you know, I don't think the Giants will have any issue beating the Raiders.
So we both picked the Giants.
Yeah, we're both taking the Giants. We're both taking the Jets. But that was a healthy discussion, and we'll see, you know, how the season plays out and who's right and who's wrong. I mean, listen, I'll admit to everyone out there who got through that argument that I tend to be I'm a very positive Yankee fan. I am a very negative Giant fan. I admit that. And it comes because I lived with my father for almost 26 years of my life. And if you watch a Giant game with my father, you'd go, that's why Chris is like that. I mean, this is just how I was born and raised. Well, I'm not going to get into that because I have to explain it. It takes so long. But Giants, that's why I am the way I am with the Giants. With the Yankees, I fought through it. Maybe it's because I work for them now and I see what they do and I see how the team is and I'm close to them and I know that they want to go out there and win every game. And this team doesn't have any problems scoring runs.
No.
But, you know, my point is, and listen, I don't want to fight anymore.
No.
But my point is, as long as you accept my point.
I absolutely accept
against good teams, and yes, the Cowboys, they're not as good as every, and Romo stinks, by the way.
Yes.
Anyway.
All right, let's pick our other
team. You're taking the Jets.
I'm taking the Jets and the Giants.
I'm taking the Jets and the Giants. Now our third game, Joe, you're up first.
All right, well, you know, I picked against New England a couple of weeks ago, and I'm not going to do that this time. Look, we talked about the Denver Broncos. I said they were 4-0, and they're playing the teams on their schedule. New England showed me a little something against a very, very good Baltimore Ravens team, who might be the best team in the AFC. My whole thing is Clayton's got to catch that ball down at the 3-yard line.
Absolutely. If I'm Flacco,
The Baltimore Ravens were absolutely 100% going in for a score.
Ball hit
right
him right
there.
Between the numbers.
Yeah,
Joe.
He's got to get his hands on it first and not let it hit his chest first. To me, the Ravens were going to go in and win that game. But, you know, the Patriots came out with another win, another close win. They're not blowing teams out. They're staying in games. And even though it's in Denver, I like the New England Patriots.
So I'm going to take the Jaguars in Seattle. Listen, I know Seattle's struggling, but they're still at home, and that's a tough place. I almost said kingdom. That's a tough place to play out there in Seattle. So I'm going to take the Jaguars on the road. Garrard has had a couple of great weeks in a row. That team is playing tremendous. Maurice Jones-Drew, I can't say enough about that guy and that whole offense. So, and the defense, Jack Del Rio, every year that defense is good. He just has to get them to the next level. And I think this may be a year where the Jaguars make some noise in the playoffs. I'm taking the Jaguars over the Seahawks in the Pacific Northwest. And before Joe and I go, we decided that we're going to preview the rest of the Yankees and Twins series.
A little bonus segment.
A little bonus segment here.
Usually we're three segments.
We're not even going to go to a break. How's that?
Oh, you know, let's do it. Okay. I'm cool with that. Let's do it.
All right. So game two. And we either are going to look very smart or very stupid, because when you're listening to this, game two will probably be played already or almost about to be played. But it's A.J. Burnett, Nick Blackburn in the Bronx Friday night. And I really think, as Joe and I were walking out of the stadium last night, we both agreed with each other. And maybe I didn't remember this correctly, but I think we both said A.J. Burnett is going to have just a shutdown lockout. Great start.
And you know what? I think Jose Molina is going to call the game of his life, because he knows all of the little controversy that was started before this series started. Joe Girardi picking Molina to be A.J. Burnett's basically his personal
catcher. And I don't
know
if it was in Posada's head last night, but he looked like something was bothering him last night. I know maybe he got crossed up on the one pitch, but
I had no problem with the Joe Girardi move. I think he's doing what's... And somebody brought up the A-Rod batting eighth move that Torrey did a couple years ago. I think Torrey did that out of spite. Girardi is making this move not out of spite. He's doing it because he thinks it's the best move for his team. And you can't really judge the decision until after AJ pitches.
You know, you could read between the lines. I I see in a lot of Yankee baseball this year hosting Yankees batting practice today. I heard a lot of post-game sound from the players while hosting the show. And when Jose Molina caught A.J. Burnett and they would interview A.J., he would call Jose, Hosey. You know they all have nicknames for each other, but it just seems like, he might not admit it, but it just seems like he's more comfortable with Molina
there. Let's not forget that A.J. Burnett was caught by Benji Molina in Toronto.
That too.
He's comfortable with the way Molina's catch.
Yeah.
And my other point is, look, Chris, Greg Maddux, one of the greatest all-time pitchers in the postseason. Was there any way? Javi Lopez at one point was one of the best hitting catchers in the league.
Right.
And this is a National League team that has to have a pitcher hit. And did Bobby Cox ever... Greg Maddux hated pitching to Javi Lopez.
Yeah.
I personally think A.J. Burnett's going to pitch the game of his life, and I think they're going to win game two. And I also think Andy Pettitte's going to go into Minnesota, and I think they're going to win game three. I called a sweep. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think the Yankees, there's a difference. The Yankees won 103 games. The Twins won 87 games. I mean, there's 16 and a half game difference. It's for a reason.
But anyway, I tend to agree with you. I know we talked to Michael Kay yesterday, and he thinks it's going to go four. I guess he thinks either Andy or AJ is not going to get the job done. He thinks the Twins are a great team. I think the Twins are a great team. If they weren't a great team, they wouldn't be here right now. But they are not the New York Yankees. Okay.
How many times?
They finished 17 games behind the Yankees in the standings. 17. Think about that. That's like, the Blue Jays in the AL East.
My whole thing, Chris, is the Yankees, the maximum games they can go is 19. 11 and 8. How many times this season against mediocre opponents, bad opponents, good opponents over a stretch have the Yankees gone 11 and 8?
I remembered 13-2. I remembered,
That's my point. It's just this team doesn't go. That's why I think they have a very, very, very good shot of winning the World Series.
They shellacked the Rays the last game of the season. They had that.
They exercised their Angels demons.
Yeah, they had that 10-run sixth inning. A-Rod had 7 RBI, which was an American League record. The only one with more is Fernando Tatis. He had 8 when he was with the Cardinals. He had 2 grand slams in an inning. I think that helped their confidence. They lost to Tampa Bay the first 2 games. Having that blowout in the last game, you need something like that before you get to the postseason to get your good thoughts back. And I think the Yankees did that. So I agree with you. I think game 2, AJ pitches the game of his life and Jose Molina catches the game of his life. And I think game 3, Andy Pettitte goes on the road like he always does and locks it down.
And the bullpen, again, is another reason why this team is shut down. Look, Phil Hughes, another good performance, stranding the runners on base.
All you need, Joe, on this team is 6 innings out of your starter.
Phil Koch pitched well.
Jabba Chamberlain came in. What did his last pitch register at? When he
95.
He threw 2 pitches.
And got
2
out of the inning.
He threw a slider in the dirt, which
why
wasn't swung at.
Why can't he do that when he's a starter? That's my whole thing. He's so aggressive. He has command when he's in the bullpen. And you know what? That's another reason why I think Chad Gaudin should start game 4 of the ALCS.
Absolutely.
And Jabba Chamberlain should be in the pen.
Because Chad Gaudin, what is he giving you? 5 to 6 innings
yeah.
every start. So if he gives you 5 or 6 innings, you don't think Jabba could go 2 if he goes 5?
Yeah.
Or Hughes can't go 2 if he goes 5?
Alfredo Aceves can go 2 or 3.
And how ridiculous is it that one of the biggest question marks of this Yankee team in spring training, we were down there, and all the whispers around spring training was, this bullpen stinks. What's the strength of this team now? And why? Because Phil Hughes, on a whim, gets out of the rotation when Jabba comes in and goes into the bullpen. And Joe Girardi, without knowing it, was building the bridge to Mariano Rivera.
Let me tell you, a beautiful mix. Let me tell you what this team is. It's a beautiful mix of free agent signings now and homegrown guys. Just look.
Like 96.
Hear me out on this. CC Sabathia starts the game. Big free agent signing. Then you go to homegrown Phil Hughes, homegrown Phil Koch, homegrown Jabba Chamberlain, homegrown Mariano Rivera.
And on that note, we're going to wrap things up. Oh, God. When I have caffeine, I'm just giggly, and I apologize for that. But anyway, for Joe Auriemma, I'm Chris Sheeran.
I'm Harry Carey.
And we'll see you next week for another Off the Wall podcast on YesNetwork.com. Just by the way you live a life.